You're listening to the show
with Sam
and Joe.
This is episode 467 for March 15th, 2024.
This week we talk about whale gay sex, desk mats, muscle relaxers,
tonsils, Metroid, and public service announcements.
So stick around for
the show.
1, 2, 3, clap.
I've been banished from talking about worms.
Can I tell you that I'm the one who has to hear about it? Because I have a message from the public to you. Because the public comes to my streams. I told them to contact you on Twitter.
Yep. And a couple of them did. I love having no public anything. It all gets directed to you just by proxy, which I enjoy.
And I hate that because I'm the one who hates getting messages and you're the one who doesn't mind. So here's what I've been told. I'm the messenger. And I keep telling my chat that I'm not your keeper. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you do. I talk to you one day a week and that's it.
Right. Yep.
And here's what they told me. They said, tell Sam, stop the worm talk. We're sick of it. And they said, tell Sam the retinol is supposed to go under the moisturizer.
Okay. Sounds good. I can do that.
That's just from the public through me to you. I don't care what you do. Me?
I couldn't give a rat's ass.
I don't give a rat's ass.
But
you
the public
talk about
is
worms
angry.
Every day. My only problem is I have to hear about it from them.
God, I love that. That brings me so much joy. Them crawling to you.
What tweets did you get? It was in today's stream. And people were like, you got to tell Sam to stop talking about worms. And I was like, tell him yourself. Shoot. I'm not an adult. I'm not on the internet to be critiqued or to be a messenger. That's not about me.
Right. This is my safe space.
So what the tweets say? Who got at you?
So the first person that got at me was Shaney B. Lil BZ1 on Twitter said,
oh, yeah.
At Joseph Birdsong is going to speak to you about this, but no more worm talk allowed. No more. We can't handle it. And then I responded with this quote tweet, which I think that you'll really enjoy. It's that incredible picture of what's her face in the worm costume.
Oh, Heidi Klum. Yeah.
And I said, God, the worms in my ass refusing to be silenced. And it's her getting interviewed for Entertainment Tonight. So
you really thought you did something there.
I got 13 likes on that retweet. So in my world, that's going
13
viral, baby.
Likes for Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm. On X. On Shitter. On X. Whatever people call it now. Well, okay.
This is notorious because, hold on. Did Shaney tag me in the initial tweet?
Yeah.
Are they blocked? This has been a problem with Shaney trying to get a hold of me. Shaney,
I
know you're listening.
Maybe it's for good reason.
I don't seem to get your communications, except on Instagram I do.
Shaney, I would like to crawl into your beard and live there.
I'm not.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Participating. I'm not participating.
How have you been? Let everyone know that although I'm not talking about worms, but by mentioning worms, I'm talking about worms. I wanted to mention that I did start the podcast 5 minutes early today. So I deserve the key to the kingdom for that. So you're welcome. Round of applause for me. Thank you. Thank you. Much appreciated.
I still don't think we're at I think you would have to start it early 20 times to make up for the...
For anything.
The lost time.
We're so far down. There's no coming back up for air. How has your last week been? What's the update? How are things? How's the migraine?
Oh, did I tell you I went to the doctor?
No, but this sounds about right.
I went to the doctor. Went to the doctor for the migraines, and I was expecting to immediately get a referral to the neurologist because they're cervicogenic. They're called cervicogenic headaches, technically, and because they start in my neck where that muscle is. And goes to my eye.
Right.
Piggy's going wild. I just texted Justin that he can't be barking. And Justin's like, I'm not even here. And I'm like, are you kidding? He was there 5 minutes ago when I started.
Yeah,
anyway.
He knew that you were talking to me and he's like, I can't deal with this. And he went for a long walk, baby.
He was literally just out there. I closed the office door and he leaves.
Yeah. He ran. Okay.
So I went and I fully expected to get a neurologist thing. And she was like, you know what? Let's try muscle relaxers first.
Oh, baby.
Just as needed. Because, you know, it starts like from muscle tension and that nerve's getting pinched. Right. And it goes to my eye and it's like awful. And I had like two the week before. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a migraine last week to try it with. Yesterday, I started getting a tension headache, just like because I hadn't slept much. And I decided to take one just to kind of see what they did too. And they just, I mean, they make you feel so good.
Yeah, girl, they relax your entire body.
They are so wonderful. And it says to take two, like I can take one to two, three times a day. Yeah, I was like, whoa.
You're petite frame, but I did end girl. Up,
I did end up taking a second one just to, because it made me, I hadn't been getting enough sleep. And I got the best night's sleep in the world.
Girl, you're just a ball of nerves. Night. Now, so here's my question for you is you most definitely updated me on this, but I don't listen to you. And that's my cross to bear in this situation. But did you stop taking the psilocybin because it stopped working? Or what
it
was
stopped
the,
working.
Okay. That's the end yeah, story just, of that.
It wasn't doing it anymore. I did test it like a couple weeks ago when I was having like, when I had like two or three a week, I tried it again and it did nothing. So I was like, okay, this is officially over.
I'm curious if the psilocybin was relaxing you and that's what was helping, but then you like,
I don't
gained
know,
a tolerance or something. I'm not a mushologist.
Someone else I know who used to take it for migraines, it stopped for them too after a few months.
Damn. Because I remember that was like a miracle
it was
cure
like,
for you for a while.
It really was. I was all about it. It was wonderful.
Back on the wagon. So what are you going to divulge? What type of muscle relaxer you're taking, or you don't want to give the universe that information?
Well, I was kind of upset about the doctor's appointment initially because
assuming you were going to refer to a neurologist.
Well, it's time. When you tell your doctor you've had migraines that you've been tracking for 7 years, they should send you to a neurologist.
Yeah,
that's my opinion.
Yeah,
that's my
they
opinion.
Should give you a lobotomy.
But it kind of felt like I was just trying, like I didn't get to see my usual person. And it felt like I was, they were trying to get me out the door really quick. I felt like I was being kind of rushed out the door. And I looked it up afterward and it was like on the internet, because I did my own research over the medical professional. Of
right,
because
yeah, that's valid. It's the vaccine
and,
that caused it.
Well, it was like it has. These are prescribed 2% of the time for your type of headaches, and I was
okay.
Like, it's not something that's normally prescribed,
right?
For this,
right?
But I was like, you know what? We'll give it a go. If she thinks it's going to work, then I might as well see if it works.
I mean,
I
you're tense regardless. It'll help with that.
I guess so, but I don't want to just like take muscle relaxers.
Right.
Like, I don't know. If I have a migraine, it'll at least put me to sleep.
Right.
But I'd rather get rid of the migraine situation.
Right.
So we'll see.
So my question for you is, how powerful are these? Like, are they horse pills? Like, how big are they?
No, they are tiny.
Oh.
And it's cyclobenzaprine. I think is the particular one.
Cyclobenzaprine.
It says on the side of the thing that they're butterscotch colored, and they are. And it makes me want butterscotch.
Butterscotch flavored. Love my
not
butterscotch flavored.
Flavored
muscle
not
relaxer.
Flavored.
My Flintstone gummy muscle relaxers. Delicious.
That would not be so dangerous.
I will not confirm nor deny that someone close in my family may had an instance where they took muscle relaxers and then operated some large motor machinery, drove themselves to the gas station / casino, and then blitzed out of their fucking mind from, I'm talking about my mom.
Yeah, this is so... Your
mom coded. Spent a bunch of money at the slots, and she didn't realize what she was doing because she also has like a very small frame. She's very fragile. She's very small, and so I think that she took the prescribed amount, And then it kind of, you know, center to the slots, baby. So I'm glad that you don't have a, you know, a car that you can accidentally drive to the
casino. No, I mean, and my doctor told me not to, you
don't
know, operate machinery.
That's top things not to do when you're taking a muscle relaxant.
Well, and also, but it's also like, if I'm taking it and it's because I have a migraine, I can't leave the house anyway.
Right. Yeah, you're like, already debilitated from the migraine regardless.
Move. Yeah, so there's no risk.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense to me, being that you've always talked about, like, you mean the Gollum posture, the tenseness in the shoulders, how that has something to do with that. But also, like, it does feel kind of wild to me that you have been trying to treat this, you know, both, you know, above board and under the table with a whole bunch of different things for 7 years, and you still haven't seen a neurologist. That seems wild to me.
Well, I was going to a migraine specialist before, like, at the very beginning of COVID, and then that fucked everything. Because I went to the migraine specialist. He prescribed a bunch of stuff that I wasn't married at the time, and
probably wasn't covered.
It wasn't covered by my insurance. It was going to be like hundreds, if not thousands. And I was like, well, I can't try this right now.
Right.
And then COVID happened, and I couldn't see him again anyway.
Mm.
So then it was like a stretch of 2 years, 3 years untreated. And I'm just now like, I don't know. It's such a, I feel like everyone who has any kinds of migraines or headaches has this whole journey of,
yeah,
all these things they're trying. My other thing I'm doing right now is aerobics.
Oh, yeah.
No one can take me right now because I've been doing aerobics so fiercely. And
I'm
I
just
think
imagining
it's actually
you,
helped.
You're in your Richard Simmons era, and I'm here for it. Get
I'm
the resistance
watching YouTube
bands
aerobics.
Out.
Well, oh, it's yeah. this... It's a lot of like arm and neck movement stuff and mm-hmm. fast, like flapping your wings like a bird situation.
Yeah.
Like flapping, floating. And mm-hmm. I think it's actually helping to keep those muscles loose. And it's been okay. I haven't had a migraine since I like started, but that
yeah,
doesn't
probably
mean
reduces
anything.
Stress, reduces tension. Now, I guess, have you tried or attempted, or is it on your radar to like try to get back to that migraine specialist, like try to go through that process again? Or is that something
probably
that you're
not that
like,
same one?
Yeah,
I would probably, I don't know. I'd just see who my PCP gave me a referral to. Is probably what I would do.
So I'm curious, next time you do go see your primary care physician that is actually the person that's like the person that usually sees you, maybe you can convince them to give you a referral.
I think I can just text them. I think I'm gonna, because we do one medical.
Right.
And I think I can just like send her a message and be like,
I need a
referral.
Can I have a referral to see
I'm dying.
Head doctor, please? It's been 7 years.
It's been 7 years. I mean,
I feel like that's valid.
Migraines are wild. And especially like, they're so not understood by science mm-hmm. as well. Like there's a lot of stuff that people that's just not known about why they happen. And
right.
so you're trying to fit, you're dealing with the pain, step one.
Right.
And then you're dealing with, wait, there's 10 different types of these things. Which ones do I have? And it takes time to figure that out. You're mm-hmm. also trying to figure out what triggers them for you.
It just sounds so exhausting, like a chronic medical condition in general that you're trying to like pin down for years.
Well, and you spend so much time, trying to not get one.
Right.
Like my whole life revolves around like, I'm not going to do this one activity because like if I do, it might trigger a migraine.
Right.
Like I'm not going to wear a backpack or carry something heavy because I'll regret it the next day. I'll have a headache.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. Bodies are fucked up. And honestly,
I think
evolution did us dirty.
Did you dirty? That's for sure. You know how like people are like, I feel like I got hit by a train. Maybe if you got hit by a train, it would like fix some things, you know? I don't think it could hurt.
Well, they stuck electrified needles in my neck. That didn't do anything.
They should do more of that for you. They should crank up the voltage next time. That's my recommendation.
I miss being cave people. I really miss it.
The ooga booga.
I feel like I have it in my oonga boonga. If I wish those were the only two words I knew. I wish I were dancing around Stonehenge naked.
Bunga. Right.
I wish if fashion magazines didn't exist. So mm-hmm. I didn't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. I wish, you know, I didn't have, they weren't worrying about their health. They were just oonga boonga acoustics, dancing right. around stones, looking for right. the sun through a hole.
Right, exactly. Trying to discover fire. It sounds so much more simple, you know? Simpler times. Is this what the boomers think about? Like, back in my day, we had segregated schools. It was so much simpler back then. And then you're like, no, Grandpa, fuck off. Oonga boonga.
I think that's different. I think that's different.
That's
different.
That's just a longing for times different. That were more racist.
I miss when you like stubbed your toe and died.
Yeah, just like really easy. Just a really early easy way out.
You just stub your toe, die, and you don't really. Everyone died at 30. Oonga boonga.
Oonga boonga.
Hitting a stick with a stone.
Speaking of racists, do you remember back in elementary school when, well, I mean, I don't know if they did this in Arkansas because like it's a whole different world down there. But in the traditional American public school system, they would do scoliosis checks in.
Yeah, we did them.
And like they would check your back to see if you had a spine or whatever. I always thought that like the kids who may, because like you were in a line, you were like lined up at the front office or the health office. And then like the nurse would just like, you'd pick up your shirt and they would, you know, measure your spine or whatever. I always thought that the people that were getting diagnosed with scoliosis were like special. And I was like, why don't I have this? Do you have scoliosis?
No, my friend. No.
I'm surprised that
fine.
You don't.
My friend did it and she had to get a metal rod in her back.
Have you seen those? I mean, I'm insane. So I watch surgery videos. Girl, it's wild.
What? Watching them put the metal rod in?
Yeah, girl. Because they have to like screw the rod into your spine. And then you can like see it like straighten out as they're, and they're like, putting so much fucking tension on your spine. It's crazy.
Spines
must feel
are
so good.
Fucking, I learned about like herniated discs because I thought I had one because I was having really bad sciatica.
My sciatica.
Sciatica sucks so much. I had never had it this bad. Like I hit 36 and it was like,
boom.
It was on.
I mean, my parents have had herniated discs. And they're like,
do you know what happens?
L1 or
L2. Do you know how it fixes?
I don't. I think my parents got, my mom got like an injection into one of her discs. And I think that helped.
Well, they can't do anything for most of them. They just have to wait for the herniated part to just dry up and fall off.
Good luck. That
also
sucks.
I'm not a doctor. I think I read that on a website. But it just, the part that's squished out from between the spine. Just has to like dry up and fall off.
The disc, the Krabby Patty that's squished out just
it's
has to
literally
die. That's horrifying.
Of bones and Krabby Patties in your back.
I wouldn't be surprised if when you die and they do a medical autopsy on you, which I'm going to gun for, by the way, because there are medical mysteries that we need to know about that we can discover from looking inside of your body specifically. I wouldn't be surprised if we found, you know, ground beef in the middle of your spinal cord. You know, your bones were made out of potato sticks. You know, I feel like that.
They
very
open me up and it's just a bag of guinea pigs. It's or
just like beetles, just thousands of beetles just spill
scarab
out.
Beetles and then it's the mummy four.
Very the mummy coated. Absolutely. I loved that movie.
It's dust and scarab beetles. And you find you find a note in hieroglyphics.
Right. And it activates an ancient curse.
And it's the codes for the nuclear, it's the nuclear keys for the briefcase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's Secret Treasure, what's that movie called?
National Treasure.
I've never seen them. It's National Treasure 3.
National Treasure is just the Da Vinci Code for kids. And I loved National Treasure when I was like 11. Anyways, the reason why I brought this up is because it was brought to my attention recently. I don't think I've mentioned this to you, and I was curious if like you had any thoughts about this. But allegedly, my great grandmother, my great grandmother. That's where we went. We're coming back to it. My great grandmother had a story that like along the lines of like, you know, getting scoliosis checks at school. One thing that they did to her back in the day in the early like 1900s in elementary school is allegedly. They would line all the kids up at the nurse's station and they would take everyone's fucking tonsils out at school, awake with no anesthesia. Can you what imagine?
That's not real.
Well, that's what I thought. That's what we all thought. And then I think my dad looked it up or something. Like, is this an old wives' tale? Or like, is my great-grandmother racist because she went through torture as a child?
That just doesn't sound real.
It doesn't add up.
Well, first of all, how do you even know what tonsils are?
Oh.
So they're those two little nodes. It's not the dangle.
No, that's your uvula. Your tonsils are on the side of your throat.
Something about that.
You never got your tonsils taken out? I feel like you're definitely the age range of like when you were a kid, getting your tonsils out was like still a big thing.
It was becoming not a big thing. Like, but I feel like I knew someone who got them taken out.
Yeah.
This says it's still one of the most common surgeries kids and teens get. They still do it.
I know they still do it, but like, I remember like when it was less of a thing when I was a kid, but like probably a little older than you. It used to be like really common practice. And then they realized like, it's not really it's not helping a lot. And like the surgery recovery is like really uncomfortable and it really wasn't helping with much. Just like doing it all the time. But it used to be like routine surgery. Like lots of kids did it. And yeah, I never got it done. My sister got it done. But it's because that her tonsils were like massive. Like she actually needed to get a tonsillectomy. Not just because that she was like young or whatever. But I remember her telling me that like the recovery process for getting your tonsils taken out, she was like 7 or 8. So it was a long time ago and she was young, but she distinctly remembers how incredibly painful it was in the aftercare and healing up from it. And I'm like, they did that all the time, basically with like all kids for like no reason. Girl. Anyways, will we know the truth about my great grandmother getting her tonsils taken out on a Thursday afternoon at school? Could have been a wives' tale.
Do you know that generation was sucking in lead, like sucking in lead and gasoline?
Oh, yeah. Licking lead paint everywhere. Not even that's why they're crazy.
But so have you, Rachel Carson's Silent Spring is a book that kind of exposed a lot of pesticide related stuff.
Right. And all the oil barons and miners like my dad hate that book because.
Do they really?
Environmentalism. Yes, absolutely.
Oh my God. I had the root of all evil
for the greenies. Well,
I took organic gardening in college. Right. So
we know, babe. Oh, we know.
We read The Monkey Wrench Gang, The Legacy of Luna. We read six books. But anyway, Rachel Carson's was the best. And I think there was a video that went with it, and it shows them to prove that pesticides were like fine, quote, air quotes, fine.
Fine.
They took groups of school kids and just while they were eating their lunch, sprayed them with pesticides. Just like, I'm talking clouds that you can't see through.
Just
fogs of pesticides on these kids while they're eating their lunch to prove that it's like fine. And
Remember when children were more disposable? I miss those days. We could just chuck them off a bridge and everything would be fine.
Well, kids in like Victorian times were adults. They were treated like adults. They went, they worked.
Yeah, they girl, they're trying the to bring back child labor in like Kentucky or whatever. They're trying to like repeal something and let children, you know, work in the fucking mines again when they're like 13.
And I'm not saying that's right.
I am. I think we need to put the children to work.
There's already reports of like children in those states getting injured on the job and stuff. It's wild. Like,
we outlawed this for a reason, you idiots.
Anyway, I'm not here to solve that today.
That's for another podcast.
Well, I don't solve problems on podcasts.
You solve problems on stream when you're playing Nancy Drew.
No, I saw that I you hear were playing about your problems on stream.
And then you refuse to acknowledge them and try to redirect, which is valid. Well, I'm like, I understand where you're going with that.
I say, I'm not his friend. I barely know him.
I'm not my sister's keeper.
I don't know her.
This is not the time and or place. I saw today that you were playing Jumpstart 4th grade. How's that going?
So it was for a sub goal. Today I played Jumpstart 4th grade and tomorrow I'm playing Elden Ring, which I feel like is it's like the lifespan of a gamer.
Yeah,
that's where you start
at jump start,
and that's and where you end up.
You end. You die after you play Elden Ring. Have you played Elden Ring before? I thought that was something that you used to play.
Yeah, I have. I really liked it, but I played it with like invincibility cheats. I just like to watch. I just like to see how pretty it is.
Do you have to play it for reals tomorrow?
No, I'm still going to use cheats. My audience knows. I don't. A game that difficult, I'm not doing it.
I can't imagine you struggling.
I don't stream to struggle, and I don't play games to struggle.
So you're saying that you passed Jumpstart fourth grade with flying colors. Well, some of us, you know, it's more difficult than others.
Did you not pass fourth grade? Is that what you're trying to tell? Is this your coming out story?
True life, I didn't graduate fourth grade. No, I'm trying to remember because I had like Jumpstart first grade, I think, is the one that's like gone viral, I think, which is with like the game where you're trying to like give cafeteria children like peas or whatever, and they make like weird noises when they eat it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is that Jumpstart first grade? Regardless.
Oh, I don't know. I only played fourth grade, which is the haunted one.
And is Jumpstart fifth grade the one in Egypt? There's one in Egypt that I really... my sister liked.
I think there might be two different Jumpstart fourth grades, and one might take place in Egypt.
Back in my day.
Those were fun games.
Yeah, they really were. I'm looking right now. Egypt. Jumpstart reading for second graders was in Egypt.
Oh.
Egypt is
in Montana.
Jumpstart
in Montana,
second grade,
that was
we were
probably
playing that.
You were playing that in sixth grade.
Well, we were playing that in freshman year high school, probably.
Y'all played with you know those hollow cubes that you put shapes in the rat holes?
Oh yeah,
that was kindergarten to sixth grade in Montana.
Yeah, that's all they allowed me to do. But, you know, at least they gave me something to do. See, kindergarten through sixth grade in Arkansas, they were just having you, you know, chip rocks with a pickaxe.
Mama, we were in the rice fields. We were in the rice fields harvesting rice. We were in the mills.
Right, you were in the mills. You were in the mines.
We were making quilts.
Well, I'm so sorry for your migraines. You're going to have to keep us posted on whether or not you're able to see a brain doctor or not. I mean, I could tell you, without even seeing you for 10 years, that something's wrong with your brain. But I think you
don't
want to.
You know what's wild? My sister just started getting migraines about a year ago. They sent her to get an MRI immediately. I've been to the ER like three times, at least three, maybe four times for migraines. They always just send me home.
Right. You have a Disneyland fast pass to the ER.
One time I even shit my pants there and they didn't do anything.
God, I wish I was there for that.
Shit
your pants at the ER.
My head hurts so bad, I shit my pants.
Yeah, do you ever just have a migraine so bad you shit yourself?
Well, they gave me like a ham sandwich with mayo, so they were asking for it.
Yeah, the deed was done after that.
They were asking for it.
Sad. Do you have anything on the docket today other than your brain?
Well, I have that story about the gay whales, but I'm going to save it for next week because it's a lot more extensive than I thought. I thought I could just say that some whales,
gay whales
were gay. Yeah, but it's interesting.
It's complicated. You could save it for the after show.
It's a pretty big day for those gay whales.
Not the gay whales, girl.
It's a pretty big day. I will say, all of the news outlets, this is from like 3 weeks ago. I just haven't brought it to the table yet. Mm-hmm. All the news outlets make sure they say, so it's humpback whales photographed having sex for the first time, but they all say they all want to make it clear that it's gay sex.
Right. They have to specify. Okay. Wait, are they photographing two whales that are losing their virginity that are having sex with each other for the first time? Like, is it the sex that they're having for the first time, or is it just that they photographed for the first time?
Well,
whales having,
they're Christians, so they had to wait till marriage.
Right. They're
so
consummating the whale marriage. Right.
They'd never been photographed before, so they performed the ceremony and then asked if they could pay them to watch the first time.
Right. Very Handmaid's Tale of them, of those gay whales.
No, they've never been. It's a humpback whales. They've never been photographed having sex until now, and it was gay sex.
How embarrassing. You know, imagine two whales trying to have gay sex, and the paparazzi are there. How inconsiderate.
The penis looks weird.
Oh, so that's the crux of this.
Can I just, you know what? Let's talk about it. Okay, so here's, I'm getting this from NBC News, which I would never read NBC News, but here we are. Okay, so it says they captured two male humpback whales having sex in what experts say is the first time the species has been documented exhibiting sexual activity of any kind. Now, let me tell you about the encounter.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about the encounter. Were they on Sniffies? Were they on Grindr?
It occurred between one male whale who appeared unhealthy or injured and a strong... Oh, who appeared unhealthy or injured and a strong and healthy male whale. The male that received penetration was visibly emaciated and covered in whale lice that can proliferate on humpback whales that have lost mobility. The authors suggested the emaciated whale may have approached the photographer's friend's boat to seek cover from the other whale. So it was trying to run away from the other whale. Mm-hmm. Was his name stressed that he and his friends did not approach the whales by boat or get out and swim with them once they approached, both of which are illegal. The emaciated whale circled the boat and attempted to swim away from the healthier whale. The healthier whale then held the other whale in place with its pectoral fins and began to penetrate the other whale. I mean, it's your classic. Your classic healthy whale fucks emaciated whale.
So, okay. I want to be gentle about this, but that story describes the top.
A non-consensual encounter.
Well, first, the top is described to be healthy and strong, and the bottom whale is described to be emaciated.
Full and lice-ridden.
Full of lice. Is there a chance that the top's name is Justin and the bottom's name is Joseph?
It's a picture of me in downtown Philly in my early 20s, is
riddled
what it is.
With lice.
It's an me emaciated... in Edgar Allan Poe's basement in my early 20s after a full night bender.
Can you imagine getting pounded from the back and lice are just jumping off of you, like abandoning the ship like it's a Titanic?
I don't even want to know about whale lice. Like, that's not it. Do you know what I mean?
10 things. But
it's
also,
not it.
This sounds like the photographers witnessed a whale sexual assault. And I don't know how I feel about that.
It says the whales were reserved for approximately 30 minutes. The encounter took place roughly 15 feet below the surface. They added that whether same-sex behavior between two healthy male humpback whales would occur remains unknown. So there's homosexuality in whales, but only when one of them's dying. I guess. I don't know. I'm not a whaleologist. I'm not a marine biologist. I'm just going off the ones that we've seen.
Gays exist in the wild, but only when they're weak and meager and on death's door and just riddled with lice. Then they take it from the back, baby. Those back shots, those whale back shots, honey.
My
back shots
sound like humpback.
Yeah, for real. Oh my God, that's horrifying.
My back shots give you whale lice.
Whale lice, literally.
Let's see. It says same-sex behavior is common in the animal kingdom, has been well documented in other species. It's been observed in marine mammals, including walruses, Amazon river dolphins, and gray seals.
Now,
and penguins.
My question is, how the fuck these whales get lice, baby?
Well, I just Googled whale lice. It looks kind of like barnacles.
Well, yeah, I was going to say it looks very barnacle adjacent.
Oh, no, they're creatures, though. Ew, it zoomed in.
Yeah, it has legs.
This is awful.
They look like little miniature crabs.
They are literally, imagine if the lice we got was like this big.
Yeah. Oh, my
I'm
God.
Gag. Oh, I'd rather talk about worms.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
This is so sad.
Yeah, look at all these. Oh, look at all these.
The whales look sad. I'm sad.
I can't imagine being in the mood. Well, it doesn't sound like that bottom whale was in the mood.
Girl, it wasn't.
Mm-mm. You need to bring that whale to a clinic.
Are you glad you asked me if I had any stories, or are you
sad? I regret it. I will admit that it took a turn, multiple turns for the worse.
I guess it didn't do it in the blowhole. I guess you don't do it there. That would be like sticking a penis in your nose.
Right. And like, I assume some people are into that, but I feel like it's not like on the usual menu, so to speak. Where's the whale butthole? I can't Google that. I'll be put on a list.
They don't only have one hole, do they? It's not like birds.
Do they have like a whale cloaca?
I don't know if...
We're not whaleologists.
Does the egg come out of the same hole in birds?
I believe so. Cloaca. All enter. But no, don't they? They don't poop out of the cloaca. They have a little.
Yeah, they
hole,
do. That's
they?
The main thing.
Really?
Birds?
Do birds only have one hole?
Birds poop and that's where it comes. That's where the poop comes out of in birds.
Yes. Thank you, Google Gemini, who said yes. Birds have one hole called the cloaca. Yeah, it shits out of the cloaca.
I don't think that's whales, though.
During reproduction, birds have a cloacal kiss where the cloaca of the mating birds touch each other. Girl.
This whole article just feels homophobic.
Do whales have cloacas? Yes, whales have cloacas.
Are you on Gemini, though? Because I don't know about her.
Well, okay. It's Gemini that's telling me this.
Gemini will tell you anything.
Yeah. Reddit.com/r/AskScience. Sharks have cloaca like birds and snakes. Whales have anuses. Whether you call it a butthole depends on whether you think whales have butts. Personally, I'd say that whales have tails, not butts. And as such, calling it a butthole would be a stretch. Sounds like we need to do more research on how many holes whales have. I think we need to start funding that. We need a grant.
I'm not here for it. I'm over whales.
Do you have a cheese this week?
It's cheese of the week. We made some minestrone, and I got some Parmesan right off the wheel from Whole Foods. And it
ooh,
was
the good shit.
The best part of it all. It was so delicious.
Yeah, girl. Once you
and I've been
once
just
you
eating
have,
it at night.
Well, yeah, I love a little Parmesan snack with little crystals. Mm-hmm. Once you have real Parmesan, Parmigiano Reggiano, that's like actually Parmesan, it's hard to go back to the shit in the can, the green can. It's just, they're two totally different
things.
I do
love that stuff.
I do too.
It has
in like
it
a
has
completely
a
different way. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But
the
like,
real one is
tasting
so
the real
good.
Thing is really good. Absolutely. I buy
it's
my
like
Parm.
Got a crunch.
Costco. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
I think we're going to cancel our Costco.
Everyone around me is canceling their Costco membership. Another friend of mine who like, his husband would go to Costco, but he wouldn't for some reason. I don't know, mental illness. But like also, you guys
we
don't have a car, so it's
enough.
Really
yeah.
out of the way for you. Right.
Well, I exactly. started ordering oat milk in bulk on Amazon. And we were getting oat milk in bulk at Costco, but we just weren't going to Costco enough to...
Right. When it's that
like,
out of the way.
We kept having to go to the grocery store. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense. Well, thankfully, like a Costco membership's only like, what, $60 a year? So... You made use of it for yeah. that one time.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it. If we lived close, I'd for sure go more, but it's just
you
not
were
happening.
Living your suburban mom fantasy, but it's just not in the cards for you.
It's not in the cards for me.
I appreciate you giving it a shot, though. That makes me happy.
I didn't do it for you, and I would never do it for you.
That's valid. minestrone, though, I don't know if I've ever made minestrone. How Italian of you? Is minestrone Italian?
It's pretty easy. Yeah. It's just a bunch of veggies and pasta and something else.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Minestrone. Yeah, it's never something that I made or like it was never something my mom made growing up. I think we probably had it from the can. Is it good? The
yeah,
one that you made?
It was good. It was delicious. It was very good.
And you had Parm with it.
It was
delicious.
Fine. The best part was the Parmesan. I'm anything that's a vessel for cheese.
Right. Allegedly, the difference between minestrone and Italian wedding soup is that Italian wedding soup usually has meatballs or leafy greens.
I've never even heard of Italian wedding soup.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. And I'll tell you where.
No.
You mentioned Italian wedding soup when you looked at the Trader Joe's website or something, and they have like an Italian wedding soup that looks disgusting. And you commented on it.
I thought it was... Danish wedding cookies.
No, that's not these Danish wedding
what?
Cookies in broth look delicious.
I have no. Well, to be fair though, the minute I stop recording on this podcast, I don't remember a thing.
Oh yeah, eternal spotlight, girl. or Eternal Sunshine.
Eternal Spotlight on this podcast.
The spotlight is on my brain, and it just burns my brain, and I forget everything. Well, the soup sounds delicious. Congratulations.
Thank you. You got a cheese?
No, I haven't had a lot of cheese lately, and I think my bowels thank me for that.
That's good. It just doesn't make me shit like it does you, apparently.
Yeah, some of us have problems. You have problems with your head, I have problems with my butt.
How much dairy do you have to eat for you to, like, be having problems?
That's the thing, it's completely dependent on a multitude of different factors. There's, one day where, like, I could eat, a shit ton of dairy, no pun intended. Like, milk and cheese and ice cream, and it doesn't affect me at all. And then another day, I will, like, have a small bowl of cereal in the morning with a little bit of milk, and it will destroy me for the entire rest of the day.
How do you know it's the dairy, then?
I mean, my assumption is that I have some lactose intolerance, but I also have IBS. So I think that I have IBS that can sometimes be triggered by dairy, and sometimes it's triggered by other things.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, girl.
And you don't go to the doctor for it? You just said no.
Why would I do that? Doctors? Why would I go to a medical professional for that?
That's fair.
I'm not bleeding out of my ass yet. But once that starts, then maybe I'll talk to someone about it.
Okay. Well, favorite things?
Let's do favorite things.
These are a few of our favorite things.
Do you have a good one?
No. It's like especially bad too.
Really? Is it another Amazon purchase?
It's always an Amazon purchase.
Okay, well then I'll go first then. No, I don't want you to go. I do not. I do not want you to go. So my favorite thing this week is an oldie. I don't know, maybe you've played this, but it's also difficult, so I'm assuming you haven't. Over the past week or so, for some reason, my brain was like, you should play a game. Like, you haven't been playing video games in a while. So I was like, okay, what should I pick up? And then my brain said, you should try playing Super Metroid for the SNES. And I was like, okay, I have it for the fucking Virtual Console or whatever for Switch. So I'm going to see if it's any good. And so I played Super Metroid all the way through. And it was really fun. It was a really good game. And as someone who has, my favorite things in the past have been like Hollow Knight and other Metroidvania sort of things. Blasphemous is one that was a recent favorite thing of mine. Super Metroid is a Metroidvania, more Metroidia, because it's Metroid. And it's one of the OGs. And it came out in 1994. Which is 1 year after I was born. How old were you in 94?
88, 89, 91, 2, 3, 4, 6.
Okay, so you could have played this when it came out.
I didn't. I did not know what Metroid was.
Me either.
We had an NES, SNES, everything. And I didn't know what Metroid was till I was like in my 20s. It was never on my radar.
I knew of it due to, I think, probably Super Smash Brothers. For the N64.
Oh,
I was like, who the fuck is Samus? Who's this bitch? But I like you said, I never grew up playing any Metroid games. And then I think the first Metroid game I actually played all the way through willingly was, I think, a couple years ago when Metroid Dread came out for the Switch. A bunch of my friends were like, we've been waiting for this game. There's a whole bunch of lore about it. It's like super fun. You know, you enjoy Hollow Knight, you should play this. And it was really good. And so this is the second Metroid game that I've ever played. And it's Super Metroid. And it's a cult classic. It was really fun. It was difficult in the way that I expect these sort of games to be difficult, where like I had to look up a fucking map. And it's old. There are not a lot of quality of life things. It's kind of hard. But I feel like it's a rite of passage for a lot of people who grew up with the SNES and who grew up playing Super Metroid. It's a cult classic for a reason. It was super fun. The sound design's amazing. The graphics are really cool. The music is really good. And it's like the original Metroid for NES, only like better in every way. So it's a lot of people's like favorite game for the SNES growing up. And so I finally had a chance to play it, and it was actually really fun. So if you're into explorer type kind of map games, I don't know how to describe it, you should check out Super Metroid for the SNES. It's on the Nintendo Switch Online SNES package, if you're subscribed to that. And it was a gay old time. And I just kind of casually played it every day after work. I would kind of unwind with it, and it was fun. So I think the only way you can play it is via the virtual console on Switch at the moment. But I think they used to have it available for like the 3DS and those older consoles. But it was fun, and I played it all the way through. And I highly recommend it if you are looking for a classic Metroidvania-style game, a la Super Metroid, one of the OGs. And so you said you never played this.
No, I hate it. I hate...
Yeah.
I hate Metroidvanias. I hate Castlevanias.
Unforgiving. Right.
I hate... There's no... Yeah. Who's that stupid little blue guy who shoots out of his arm?
What?
Yeah, you know exactly who I'm talking about.
Stupid little
Mega
blue
Man?
Guy? Oh, yeah. Mega Man. I see... That's another series that like people love Mega Man, and there's like 400 different Mega Man games. Never
I
played a single
them.
One of them.
There's no momentum.
Right.
Like he just runs and jumps and falls like dead weight, and it just
right.
pisses me off. I hate
yeah.
it.
Metroid no, is very much like that as well, and it was really difficult for me to get used to as someone who's used to like
yeah.
Mario mechanics.
I tried it on the whatever Nintendo Switch Online when it mm-hmm. got added, and I was like, nope, it's definitely not
it's
for me.
It's hard.
I love Mario. Mm-hmm. That's I need the momentum. I need
right.
the jumping that feels right. It just feels like you're moving a brick around.
Yeah, literally very brick-like.
But I do know as an adult more about the Metroid lore.
Yeah. The lore is really fun. It's, you know, I never knew anything much about it. Now I'm kind of getting into it. I'm currently now I'm playing the sequel which came out for Game Boy Advance called Metroid Fusion, and it's wild because Metroid Fusion came out in 2002, 1 year after 9/11, which makes me feel incredibly old. Anyways,
oh, I thought there was going to be a conspiracy.
No.
Did you know that media was still released after 9/11?
I thought the world stopped after that.
Yeah.
So yes, Super Metroid, it was originally released for the SNES in 1994. Super fun game, but not very forgiving. So if you're into those types of games, I'd say check it out. Joe, what is your... I mean, I'm on the edge of my seat, truly, for this.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I was opening some of my orbs in Marvel Strike Force while you were talking.
Well, at least you weren't doing your taxes this time. You know, it's either that... I can't believe you're still into fucking Strike Force, girl. We need
Mama,
to have an intervention.
Mama, I play it every day.
We need to have an intervention.
Multiple times a day. And I'm free to play now. I'm not paying
oh,
money.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. So the needle's out of your arm now?
I'm free to play.
I see. Okay, well, I'm glad that we're, you know, it's like how people switch from like, chew tobacco to those little, like, nicotine packs. It's like we're slowly weaning you off of it.
It's a fun game. Actually, honestly, it's not that fun. But now I just, like, want... I just... Mm-hmm. Some characters that I
they
really
got you
want,
hooked.
So
they got
I'm
you hooked
there.
In, baby.
Anyway, my favorite thing is super boring. I got an Amazon. It came in the mail today. So we got it new. We rearranged all the furniture in our house because we're getting something.
Big.
And I'm not telling you what it is until
oh.
we get it.
Uh-oh.
Is
it something
maybe,
for your bedroom?
No, it's for the office. It's going in the office.
And it's something big?
Not too big, but we had to rearrange the furniture for it.
Big enough to rearrange.
I'm not going to tell you if you guess, so.
A miniature fine. Trampoline is what I'm going to think.
A whale covered with lice.
A miniature whale covered with lice. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Okay, continue.
So we rearranged the furniture, and the living room needed a bigger rug. So we moved the office rug to the living room rug to the entryway, and we needed a new rug for the office. So a new rug for the office. Still not my favorite thing. We're getting there.
Okay.
So
we're getting closer.
The last office rug, my desk chair pretty much ruined it, that section
of it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I was like, well, I need to get a mat to go under the chair this time. Did a whole bunch of research on desk chair mats. Looked up a million different kinds.
The only ones that I remember are like the office ones that are like a clear piece of plastic.
Exactly. I did a lot of research that was like, I had this on a rug for 6 months and it cracked. It started showing marks. It turned yellow. It got grimy and it cracked.
Gross.
And I was like, okay, there's got to be something out there that actually works, because it needs to, you know, I'm in my chair all day.
Right.
It needs to hold up. I don't want to have to buy one every 6 months.
Right.
So they make tempered glass.
Oh, shit. Mats. Really?
It is a thick piece of tempered glass.
I bet it weighs a ton.
That goes under your chair. It weighs so much. So it's 36 inches by 46 inches, and it's a fourth of an inch thick glass.
Uh-huh.
And got it in the mail today. I dragged it upstairs.
I feel bad for whoever delivered that to your apartment.
I know. Sorry to the Amazon people. They've delivered
worse.
Sorry
to that man.
So. But it, you would think that, like, sitting on glass, standing on glass, stepping on it, but it is so thick and sturdy. I've seen people, so it has a 5-year warranty for one thing.
Okay, well, here's my question. What is the weight limit for my fat
pounds.
Ass? Oh, what?
Supports up to 1,000 pounds. 5-year warranty.
How thick is this in inches?
A fourth of an inch thick.
What?
It's thick, hard glass.
Oh, so hard. I'm so hard
and
for this, girl.
It works great. Like, it's clear. It's not like, you know, glassy or faded. It's mm-hmm. like basically scratch resistant.
Literally a tempered glass screen protector for your chair, for the underneath your chair, basically.
It is wild. And people rave about them. I've seen people who are like, yeah, I've had one for 10 years. And it wow. looks like it came out of the box yesterday. Like,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
I had no idea this was a thing.
It was $90. So it's... I think
an investment, but not too much.
The mats are about 30.
Right.
So if you estimate that your mat's breaking, you need a new mat every like 6 months, then you
worth
know,
it,
year
absolutely.
And a half is this. Yeah. So I was like, let's do it. And so far, I love it. The only thing, though, I'm like gliding.
Oh, yeah, girl.
And so I did get some.
She's lubed up.
So I already have those like rollerblade casters for my chair, you know, that mm-hmm. everyone replaces with. But I've ordered some that have brakes on them. You can lock them.
Yeah, girl.
They make them so you can lock them in place. So
how,
I got some
how big
that
is
lock.
This? How big of a slab, of a tempered glass slab is this?
36 inches by 46 inches.
I love how, because I'm gay, I asked that knowing exactly that that's going to mean nothing to me.
36 inches by 46 inches. I don't even know how many. 3 feet by 4 feet.
Yes. Okay. That makes a little more sense
Which
to me.
Which is like the standard size of a desk chair mat.
Gotcha. And so
scratch-resistant,
I guess if amazing. You were to fly off of this, like how big of like a thump does it make if like you're, you know, you accidentally slide off of it onto your floor?
Oh, the chair?
Yeah.
Not really, because it's
not too noticeable.
There's those rubberized wheels and they're going onto carpet. So it's
that helps. Okay.
It's not a big deal at all. Do you know what it makes me think of, though? Because as a child, there's a scene in one of the Final Destination movies where a pane of glass smashes someone, like office window glass.
Oh, yeah.
And it falls like parallel to the ground onto somebody and smashes them.
Oh, that's a good way to go.
Yeah, they get crushed. And as a kid, I was like, that's not it. That's not going to happen. But after holding this piece of glass
it
that weighs this much and is this thick, and I know that windows are like thicker and sturdier, and
right.
that window weighed a lot more, I could see it.
You could see it for yourself.
They got like eviscerated.
God, I wish that was me.
I remember slowing down the VHS to watch it.
You wanted
it.
To get every frame of that.
I watched it frame by frame. It is still, I don't remember those movies at all except Ellie Larder's in them.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
She plays the girl on Heroes who I got my tattoo from.
Ellie Larder? Oh, yeah.
She didn't do much.
No.
but she... Well, no, I don't remember much about her. She survived and then she had to die again or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, good
but,
for her.
But the only thing I remember from the entire franchise, besides the logging truck, is
that was the one thing I was going to bring up. Is that's the only thing
the
I remember
glass.
Is
the
logging
truck scene and this fucking pane of glass.
And as someone who grew up in Montana, who would drive to Idaho and Washington, Washington is a logging state, I would be behind logging trucks exactly like that, hoping to Christ that, like, you know, a log wouldn't come and impale me. Terrifying.
Yeah. Logging that, trucks.
So your favorite thing this week is Final Destination.
My favorite thing this week is a slab of glass that I'm sitting
honestly,
on.
Way less boring that you than you
that's true. I had a good conversation. Also, yeah. It's getting into the 70s here, which is too hot for me, and the glass stays nice and cool.
Ooh, you can put your little piggies on the glass.
I put my little piggies on the glass, and they stay nice and chilled.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that for you. I bet Piggy likes it too, actually. Probably nice and cool for Piggy.
He hasn't noticed it yet. I don't know if he can see it.
I tried to show it to him.
He just looked at me and left. So I don't know what's going on.
He doesn't know what's happening. We'll obviously link it in the Patreon description. Patreon.com/theshowsamandjoe. Actually, probably a good investment, especially if your desk is on carpet like you.
Yeah, because it ruined that part of the last rug.
Yeah, just I'm not surprised. That shit sucks. Yeah, I had no idea they made these out of tempered glass. That's such a good idea. Although the only downside I can see is, which you mentioned, is how much it fucking weighs, because it's a giant slab of tempered glass.
Yeah, and it does not bend. You don't bend glass.
Yeah. But like 1,000 pounds, girl. Damn. Maybe I should buy one. Good favorite things.
Good favorite things. Well?
Well, whale, lice.
You have whales. You have whales. Any final thoughts?
I'm just going to think about whale lice for the next 14 days, probably. That's the new worms. At least it's not in me.
Yeah, at least I don't have to hear about you thinking you have whale lice. That would be such an issue.
Girl, for you, mostly for me, but also for you.
Yeah. Anyway, is that it? That's all?
That's all. We got to go. There's an after show.
Yeah, thank y'all so much for listening. There will be an after show this week for the Patreon patrons, so check that out. Things always get quite unhinged on the after show. I think our after shows is kind of where it's at.
I'm just going to really promote them.
Mm-hmm. You need to go to the Patreon.
There's plenty there. Like, there's like 200 of them.
Yeah, there's 200 of them. It's like you can cap it at $1 a month and you still get access to them. Go check them out. But otherwise, we will also be back next week with a regular episode for everybody.
Yep, that sounds good. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and more at theshowsamandjoe.com.
You can also support us to help keep the podcast going at our Patreon, patreon.com/theshowsamandjoe.
Patrons also gain access to exclusive content like bonus episodes, music downloads, physical rewards, and more.
We also want to give a big personal thanks to the wonderful podcast patrons who have donated $5 or more.
Thank you to Alex P.,
Alex S.,
Alexander P.,
Alexander T.,
Amanda L.,
Amy T.,
Andrew G.,
Andrew P.,
Ben B.,
Brian H.,
Carl K.,
Carolyn A.,
Chris C.,
Chris M.,
Dallas E.,
David M.,
Duran C.,
Devin B.,
Devin L.,
Halo,
Javier,
JL,
Jessica L.,
Joseph S.,
Lindsay C.,
Martin D.,
Montez,
Morgan M.,
Nick I.,
Ryan,
Sam and Ari,
Scott A.,
Soyzilla,
Sylvie C.,
Tom I.,
William W.,
Xavier D.,
and Zachy.
As usual, thank you to all of our listeners, and we'll see you all next week on
The Show.